Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Dr. John talks to you live from Pearl River, Louisiana. Hope you're having a wonderful day. We want to finish up Hebrews chapter 1 today. That's our objective. Don't know if we'll do it, but we'll try. We're going to start reading at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. That's something right there. He made the worlds. God is not dealing with us as he did with other period of times in this world. And the world is a world system. It's not the physical. It's also the world system. So man, when he was created, is different from the man that is living now. And God's dealing with man differently than he was dealing with man in the time of Noah and Adam and Methuselah, as it is when he's difficult. It's different now than when he was dealing with Moses and David. And even it's different now than it was when God was dealing with the world, mankind, when Jesus was here on earth. This is the period of grace. It's the period of the church, and God's dealing with man by grace. Grace. He's still saving by faith in the salvation through Jesus Christ, through all of those periods, through faith in the Messiah. But his manner of working with man is different. Okay, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. Well, you see the comparison between angels and Jesus Christ? And that's what he's doing here. He's showing you, us, what is Jesus Christ and how superior Jesus Christ is to angels. But he's also telling you what angels are used for, and we're going to see that a little bit further. They're ministering spirits. If you go through the scriptures, you'll see that angels appeared to Abraham. They also appeared in other parts of the scriptures as women, sometimes as men, sometimes as flaming fire. So they're ministering spirits, as we'll see, but they have no specific form. How's that? As we've seen right here. And they are used by God to for his purposes. So that's what we find in this passage in comparison here. And though we see that God humbled himself and came as a man, but he's so much superior than the angels who have are used by God in a supernatural way. That's the way to put it. Okay. Let's see where we're at. Let's start right here. Oh, verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Scepter is a baton, or it's an emblem of power. The king has a scepter. If you look at the Parliament of England, they have the scepter of the king on the table there, showing his power. Well, the power of Jesus Christ is righteousness. That's his power. Perfect power is righteousness. And the most powerful entity or action or performance or accomplishment is righteousness. That's why we're said that we're made righteous in Christ Jesus. We don't have our own righteousness. We are justified by Christ and his righteousness, not our own righteousness. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, it says in Isaiah. And that filthy rag means a menstrual rag. So that's what our righteousnesses are looked at and compared to Jesus Christ's righteousness. And that's his power. That's his scepter. Verse 9, Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. You do right, and you'll be glad. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Now, I want you to follow this. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. That's what's happening. This world is right now waxing old. It's perishing. And we can see it with Putin and what he's doing. He's destroying this world. And man, not just him, but man has been destroying the world with all of its activity, the abuses of the environment, the abuses of medication, the of wars, diseases, just continuously ruining. And as it says here, it's waxing old as doth a garment. I got some favorite clothes. I like wearing them, but they're just wearing out. They're just wearing out. Well, it's just like me, wearing out. And so we're all wearing out. We're just winding down. And a good example is right now what's going on. Putin and his cronies are attacking another country. They're destroying further mankind. They're destroying the environment. They're destroying through not just bombs, but through lives and through what type of armament they use and what were they talking about? How these bombs are like napalm bombs, and all the guys from Vietnam and what they had, their problems with Agent Orange, and not to say what wars do to the mentality of people, what they do to families, what they do to countries. Man is continuously, this place is waxing old as a garment. In verse 12 it says, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. God's going to fold up this earth, and he's going to burn it up, and then he's going to change it. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. So don't hold on to this one. Hold on to Jesus, because he's the one that's allowing this thing to wind down or fold up or wax old. He's doing it, and he's going to bring a new one about. So don't hold on to this world. Hold on to Christ, but let him hold on to you. Verse 13, but to which of the angels saith he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Now, that ain't, no angel has been said, has that been said to, but Jesus Christ it has been said to. Verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? I don't know whoever said it, but somebody said that every born-again child, everyone that is saved, that is an heir of salvation, has 29,000 angels assisting him. Now, I don't know how they figured it out, but it sure is a comforting thought to a born-again believer, a person that's saved. Peter had his angel. It's mentioned in Acts. So we all have angels that assist us in keeping us, protecting us from dangers that we walk into. You know, like Jesus said to pray, lead us not into temptation, keep us from evil. Well, that is accomplished by angels. What one big way is by angels. I know in my life, in some of the dangers that I've been in, some of the dangers that I've put myself in, not just me, but my family, there has had to have angels assisting me and assisting us and protecting us and providing for us, taking care of us. He does it every day. And I thank Jesus Christ for that. So they are ministering spirits, and that ministering spirit is one of benevolent, one of care, and then the other one, the minister there, it says, and set forth to minister. That's like, that word is like in the Greek is the same word for deacon. And it's a that type of, if you look up what a deacon is to do in the church, that's what angels are doing for us. So God bless you. And I hope you have a wonderful day. Down here in New Orleans, they're going crazy. A lot of wickedness and evilness and in the name of religion, in the name of the Catholic religion of Mardi Gras. And then they go into their next element of performing their own righteousness by some type of fast. They're accomplishing their righteousness to please God instead of putting their faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ to please God. So pray for them that they will see this hypocrisy of their religion. God bless you. WSM217@gmail.com.